All right. Well, happy Easter, everyone. It's good to be together to celebrate this central event that defines our Christian faith. In Romans 10:9, the Apostle Paul writes, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So today we confidently declare that Jesus is Lord. He reigns over our hearts, our minds, our entire beings. And we believe that 3 days after he was put to death, he was raised, not just to prove his power, but to take the judgment of our sins upon himself and to overcome the finality of death. He did this to open a door for us, to open a door for all people, to be forgiven and enter into a new, eternal, and unshakable life with him. So today we praise God, saying, "Jesus is risen." And you risen indeed. Yes. Now, this morning we all woke up to a world that is filled with many reasons for fear, anxiety, anger, hopelessness. Sometimes I find myself thinking that living life truly is an act of faith. There are no guarantees that this world can offer about the length or quality of our days. But the Lord has actually numbered our days. Each one of us. Psalm 139:16 says, "You saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your books before I was even a day old." There's comfort that comes from knowing that God has planned out your life. Although we may not know what will happen to us today or tomorrow, God has ordained the days for us. Yet there's still room in that knowledge for uncertainty about what that life will be like, or how long it will last. But because Jesus is alive, we have every reason to find hope, joy, and peace in every one of those days that God has given us. Jesus' resurrection is a historical event that changed everything for how we approach our time in this world. Because of Jesus, death and judgment no longer have the final say over us. So let's go ahead now and read one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection. We're going to read from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. So if you have a Bible with you, or you can grab one near you can follow along. And as you're opening up to this, let's just remember that on the day Jesus was crucified, his body was buried in a tomb. And then the day after, the Pharisees went to the Roman ruler Pilate and said, "Hey, his disciples are going to take this body away." And so they agreed to seal the tomb and put a guard on it so that nobody could come and open that tomb up. And we pick up the narrative about Jesus in John 20, verse 1. And it says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started running for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She wept. She bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We'll stop right there. Can you imagine the excitement that these people must have felt? They were mourning Jesus' loss, and suddenly there he is, alive, showing himself, proof that he is back. This was an incredible disruption to the finality of death. For Jesus, death no longer was the end. And it wasn't as though he just come back for this moment and then later died again. No, Jesus is alive even today. We celebrate his conquering of death. It's wonderful news that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings has overcome death and is alive forever. And we praise God for it. But that's not all Jesus' resurrection accomplished. Jesus' death was a sacrifice covering over all the sins of mankind. He offered his innocent life in exchange for ours so that we could be forgiven. He paid the price that we owed for our sin to God with his very body. So he conquered both death and sin. And that is really good news for us and for anyone who comes to know who Jesus is. For those who confess their sin to him and put their faith in him, we can know that our sins are forgiven. The Apostle Paul expresses this in Romans 4:25, where he says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Jesus died and came back, showing that he paid the price of sin in full. And for all who put their faith in him, we can be fully forgiven of our sin. Because Jesus rose from the grave, the power of sin to cover your life in shame is defeated. By faith in Jesus and who he is and what he has done, you can celebrate freedom from the judgment of your sin. It no longer has a hold on you. You are not defined by what you have done in your past. You are defined by the grace of Jesus and his forgiveness. But there's even more to what Jesus offers us than just forgiveness of sin. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." So Peter says that because Jesus bore our sin, not only are we just forgiven, we actually are transformed into something new. We die to sin and live for righteousness. We enter into a new life. And there's significance to his words that by his wounds you have been healed. So dying to sin accompanies not just forgiveness, but also new life, as I said. In Jesus, we are no longer who we once were. We're not just forgiven, cleaned up, and just set back out on our own again to try again to live for God. No, we're welcomed into the presence of God. He takes us from who we formerly were, living for ourselves, and makes us into a new people, people who live in the fullness of God's presence. And the promises that we celebrate on Good Friday was not only that Jesus died for us, he made himself available to us from that point on. He is always with us. And Jesus said that he would send his Holy Spirit to be with his disciples. We just read in John where he told them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I now send you." And after that, John says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift given to all who trust in Jesus as we enter into this new life in him. And it's by this gift of God's presence through his Spirit that we are able to live for righteousness, as Peter said. right? This new life is defined by God's presence working in us, leading us to think and act in new ways, to be new people. So because Jesus is alive, we are freed from the shame of sin and empowered by God to live for him instead of ourselves. By the Spirit, we're able to break free from sin's hold on our lives. It's by living through the Spirit that we are healed from the damage that sin has done to us. That is where the healing comes, when we actually live a new life and allow the Spirit to work in us. The damage that sin has done can be healed. And not only this, but the Spirit is a guarantee on the promise of eternity that Jesus gives to those who live in him. Remember I said earlier, this life offers no guarantees for us, but there is a guarantee in Jesus. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So what Paul is telling us here is that the Holy Spirit, who fills everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, is a deposit on our future inheritance. He is a guarantee of the life that is to come. He is with us now in our everyday lives, offering guidance, counsel, and wisdom. But there is so much more to come in that future inheritance of eternal life when we experience the fullness of God's presence and the fullness of our presence with him. What we have today is a great gift, but it is just a taste of what is to come. There's so many things that God has offered us through Jesus. Because Jesus is alive, there's so many things to celebrate. Let's just take in the glory of these promises made available to us today. Because Jesus is alive. These gifts are given to us by grace through faith in him. You do not need to prove yourself worthy of receiving Jesus' gifts. Whoever you are, wherever you have been, Jesus has already chosen to offer new life to you. You can be forgiven of all your sin. You can receive this gift of God's presence, and you can receive the promise of eternity with the Lord through your faith in Jesus Christ. For all of us who have received this new gift of new life in Christ, today is a day to rejoice in the greatness of God's love for us. When we remember and embrace these gifts that Jesus has provided us, we can truly live at peace in this world. When we think about those troubles that I mentioned, the anxieties and the fears, they pale in comparison to the joy of knowing the Lord. He is the one who gives us peace and strength. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he saw them. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Peace, he said. In Christ, we are no longer have to embrace striving or fear or anxiety that the world presents to us. We no longer have to be tossed around by all the news that is thrown at us day after day. We can stand steady and firm in the comfort and the peace of the Lord because our lives are secure in him. And that is what matters more than anything. No matter what our days bring us, we can be at peace in the presence of God, knowing this guarantee of our inheritance through Jesus. So because Jesus is alive, we can show the world what it does for us to release those things and live secure in him. We can be a beacon of light in the storms, can stand apart from the rest of the world, showing them what it means to live in the knowledge of a secure future. Through all these promises, through the work that Jesus has done, because he is alive, we can sing, "It is well with my soul." We give thanks to the Lord today for the gift of wellness, the gift of knowing our lives are secure. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord that Jesus is alive, and then we'll sing his praises one more time together. Lord, we thank you that you hold us in your hands, that you have numbered our days and you have made our future secure. May each one of us remember that, Lord, as we face the challenges of life that come before us. As we've talked about through Lent, we know the example that Jesus set, that even though he experienced doubt and fear, he experienced sadness and anxiety in his last moments, he did not let those things overcome him. He chose to remain secure and at peace in you. He chose the future that lay before him, knowing that you held him. And because of the promise of what was to come, what he could offer for each of us. Help us to live that way, Lord, knowing that we are secure in your hands. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.